Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Airbnb in Bali. This happened a few years ago, but upon discovering your channel, it reminded me of that incident and I wanted to share. The year 2018, me and three other friends, we were all males in our early 20s, decided to travel to Bali for about a week since it was cheap, and we had the time, so why not? Our itinerary includes sightseeing, trying local foods, mountain climbing, visiting bars at the beach, basically a typical vacation in Indonesia. It was honestly quite a surreal experience. The country is absolutely beautiful, and the food was amazing. The only issue I had about the trip were the locals. Drugs were really prominent there, especially mushrooms. The streets were filled with druggies dying to sell us their drugs. I am not exaggerating when I say this. One dude even grabbed my arm because I ignored his two-for-one deal for a one-way trip to meet Jesus. I shrugged him off while my friends laughed it off, suggesting that I may be passing up a chance to meet our Lord and Savior. He looked rabid and frantic, like he was about to pounce onto me like a dog diagnosed with rabies. I didn't feel too afraid, as we were confident that we could handle them since half of them were not even sober. However, that is only the tip of the iceberg. The horror starts when we went back to our Airbnb for the night. We had an early day the next morning and were exhausted. The place was extremely cheap and it didn't even have a proper locking mechanism for the door. It had two wooden doors which swing inwards, and the only way to lock them was to wedge a wooden block through the holes mounted on the door. It was quite a primitive lock, but it gets the job done, I guess. Everything was going well until the last night of our trip, when we realized that the wooden block was missing. We looked everywhere for it, but to no avail. I just figured that one of us must have misplaced it somewhere. We settled for using a selfie stick. I know it sounds like a horrible idea instead, since we didn't have anything that fits the holes to wedge the door closed. We turned in for night, seemingly not expecting anything since we had already stayed there for 6 days with no issues. I woke up to strange clicking sounds in the dead of the night. I got out of my bed, and I thought maybe it was one of the guys, so I nonchalantly approached the noise. My friends were all sleeping, so I decided to investigate the cause of the noise. The ruckus seemed to be coming from the door, so I headed towards them feeling extremely confused. Who could be at our doorstep at this time of the night? I noticed the doors were slightly opened and the selfie stick was horribly deformed. I peeked outside and I saw three people staring through the gap between the doors. They were really close to the entrance and were attempting to push the doors open. I yelled at them, questioning their intentions, as I noticed one of them was holding the wooden block. I was shocked and puzzled at the situation as I recognized one of men. He did the overall cleaning for the Airbnbs and pathways during the day, so there is no reason for him to be there at 3 a.m. The other dude asked if the wooden block belonged to us, as they allegedly found it outside of our Airbnb. I definitely smelled bullshit, as there was absolutely no reason to do that at 3 a.m. I called for my guys, and the three men immediately ran for it. I clue in the guys on the circumstances, and we stayed up until morning came in case they tried anything funny. We decided to report to the reception about their employee, but the description I gave them were not synonymous with theirs. They told me the housekeepers they hired consists of only females in their late 30s and 40s. This sent shivers down our spines as we came to realize that we had let a complete imposter in and out of our rooms while we were out. Luckily, nothing important was lost, and we got out of the situation safely. I can't imagine what would happen if I didn't wake up on that fateful night as the doors were close to being opened. I was just grateful that it was our last night there. My name's Natalia, but people call me Tally. And I'm a 20-year-old language student from Leicester, currently doing my year abroad in Bordeaux in the south of France. I haven't made too many friends here. I'm not too much of a party girl like my big sister. But the friends I have, I hold dear to me. I won't bore you too much with the details of my life here. But so far, after the first few months, nothing too eventful has happened, besides a couple of run-ins with some local troublemakers. But other than that, I've had a really nice time. The food here is lovely, the city is beautiful, and the weather is a lot nicer than back home. British people making jokes about the weather back home again, haha. A couple of weeks ago, we took a trip around the south, to my friend Clayman's hometown, Joan. There are lots of beautiful little villages scattered around this part of the countryside which are very peaceful, calm, and the people are pleasant. This is not an area that tourists typically visit. You find that the locals are often bemused to find a foreign person in this part of the country. Not too far from Joan, there is a slightly larger village called Eugénie-les-Bains. I may sound like a broken record here, but this is another very stunning part of the country that probably not many people know about besides the locals. In the town, there is a Michelin star restaurant, and we decided to pay a visit here for my boyfriend Brad's birthday, his 23rd to be exact. And as it was now 2 years since we had met, it was nearly our second anniversary too. He had taken time off work to come to France to visit me, and we were glad to be spending some time together again finally. We booked a table for four in the restaurant, me, Brad, Clement, and his girlfriend Jeanette. Initially, we had wanted to book into the restaurant's hotel as well. However, it was too dear for students like us. We booked into an Airbnb instead on the outskirts of town. We enjoyed a lovely meal and then sat outside drinking wine and smoking cigarettes in true French fashion. We then went for a late night stroll through the town, enjoying the quaint little frog statues situated within the town. After we got too tired, we decided to head back to our Airbnb and rest for the night before we would head off to our next destination. Clayman's girlfriend Jeanette was Catholic and always wants to visit Lourdes every year as part of her faith. We eventually made it back to the room and had another glass of wine and a couple more fags before we headed off to bed around 1 a.m. I woke up at around 3 a.m. to the sound of something scratching by the door or window. I couldn't tell as I had never been here. I wondered if it could have been a dog, or perhaps another small animal like a cat maybe. However, the sounds faded away almost as quickly as they appeared, and I quickly drifted back to sleep. Not long after, however, I was awoken again. Not because of any sound from outside this time, but because Brad had gotten up for the bathroom. I lay back down on the pillow and closed my eyes. But then a sudden sense of dread filled me up. I don't know how, but I had a feeling that somebody was watching me. I looked around the room, with only the moonlight bringing in just enough light to see. I looked over to the window, which should have been closed via the shutter. But again, with Brad not being used to the life around here, had forgotten to lock it. I could see it slowly being pulled open by a hand outside, its silhouette lit by the moonlight, attempting to open the window while holding something that I couldn't quite make out. I then heard what sounded like an old-fashioned camera shutter closing repeatedly. I hadn't heard one of these in many years, not since my grandfather would take family photos of us. But as I've heard this so many times before, it was unmistakable to me what the sound was. What felt like an eternity passed by before I could bring myself to open my mouth and yell out to Brad. The person at the window quickly began to climb down, and whilst briefly in the moonlight, I caught a clear glimpse of a very distinctive ring on the left hand. I didn't get a long look at it, but it did appear to be wooden, with a distinct marking on one side. Seconds later, the assailant was gone. Brad rushed outside to try and see who it was, but all he saw was an empty street and could hear the sound of footsteps becoming more and more distant. We didn't sleep a wink the rest of the night. Neither of us dared to. We checked out of the room as early as we could once there was sunlight. Clermont and Jeanette went to get the car while me and Brad returned the keys to the lockbox. I messaged the host about what happened, and whilst he seemed sympathetic, he said he wouldn't be taking any action against what happened. A few days have passed, and we still have no idea who tried to break in. Brad thinks it was the host, as they weren't too apologetic. However, Clement says it's because they're rich snobs and don't care about foreigners. So we'll likely never figure out who it was. The creepiest thing for me is that some perv has a photo of me lying nude in bed, and I have absolutely no idea who has it and whether or not it might end up online somewhere. The mistake I made was staying at an Airbnb. I am traveling around the country in my car. I have been driving for over a week from the city I lived in and have so far slept in my car to save money. It wasn't until I got to a big enough city that I decided to treat myself to an actual bed that would be comfortable. I opted to choose Airbnb because it is cheaper than hotels. I booked this Airbnb the day before I arrived to the city, so there weren't many options left. I had found this apartment on Airbnb that looked very new and modern, and it was in a great location. The price was decent for its location, and it almost seemed too good to be true. The only downfall was that it was listed as a new listing and had zero reviews. I figured that the price was low because it was a new listing and decided to give it a shot. Must be legit because it's Airbnb, right? When I got to the apartment building, it was older looking than I had expected. I later found out or realized that my Airbnb was most likely the only renovated apartment in the building, and the building seemed to be in poor condition. It looked more like a dorm hall rather than an apartment building. Anyways, I let it all slide because I wasn't paying too much, so what could I expect? The apartment itself looked like the pics, so that was good enough. Everything went well for the first 2 days. As a female traveling alone, I always make sure to be safe. I don't go out when it's dark and I always lock the door, every single lock including the chain thing. Anyways, on the third day I was out all morning and came back to the apartment to change to head to the beach. I had again locked the door including the chain. I was in front of the door watching TV while changing, when the door suddenly unlocks and someone opens the door. I am beyond lucky that I had put the lock chain on the door or else it would have opened all the way. I was naked and no one else was supposed to have the keys. My first reaction was, "Excuse me," and I closed the door right away, locking it again. I came from the back of the door and did not look or see who was opening it. I sat in front of the door scared and shocked. realizing that this person could technically still get in here since they obviously have the keys to the apartment. At first I thought maybe it was the owner coming back after I checked out. But I was not supposed to check out until the following day, so it was not possible. After crying for a few minutes, I recuperated myself and called the owner and told her what had happened. She told me that no one else should have a set of keys other than her and I, and that she is at work and it was not her. I was scared to stay in the apartment because someone could come in. I didn't want to leave because I had all my valuables there. It was a lose-lose situation. I then called my dad, who told me that it was not okay that someone has the keys and that she needs to take care of this ASAP. So he talked to her, and she told me she will be there shortly with a locksmith to change it and give me a pair of new keys. She then proceeded to tell me that she had only had this apartment for 6 months, and that before I stayed there, there was only one other Airbnb booking. She also mentioned that it had been sitting empty other than those two bookings because she had been renovating the apartment, which now makes sense why the building looks like absolute shit and doesn't match the apartment. She told me that the only possibility for who that was could be the previous owners or someone related to them. Isn't that illegal? That possibility or theory really messed with me. How is it possible that I was gone all day every day, and the 10 minutes I was home during the daytime someone tries to come in? Did they know I was there? What were they coming in for? If this apartment has been sitting empty for half a year, maybe they did this frequently? Or maybe they saw me come in and tried to do something to me? These questions are constantly on my mind. I just know I am so lucky that I put the keychain on the door, or else. I don't even want to know what else could have happened. Needless to say, I won't be leaving a good review, and I won't be staying in an Airbnb that has no reviews or seems too good to be true. Edit. To people thinking it is the contractors, apartment building workers, etc. The owner said that no one else has the set of keys except her and I at the time, so the only option was the previous owners, someone close to them, or the other person who had previously stayed at the Airbnb and made a copy. Either way, messed up. So I'm currently staying at an Airbnb with some family before I go back to my normal boring life, and have been noticing some things that just don't feel right to me. 1. There are no normal doors in the house, only barn doors with their bottom stopper removed, which make it incredibly easy to simply push them off the hinges. 2. There are peek holes in different areas of the house that makes it easy to see into other rooms without someone seeing you. But what has been the final straw for me is that last night I swear I started hearing movement in the attic of the house, but have no way to check because I don't have a step ladder that can reach the entrance. Update as I am writing this. I have just heard tapping on my ceiling. I will update this in the morning if I have not been murdered by a serial killer. Wish me luck. Before bed update, because I realized I forgot to mention why I'm not as paranoid or worried as someone who is alone might be. I have a 180 pounds dog that would rip anyone to shreds if they tried to hurt me or my family. And yes, she is awesome. Update. Seems we have a pretty good end to this little creepy encounter. I messaged the owner, and he drove over to the Airbnb to look at the stuff. Explained that one of the previous renters was a bit insane in the membrane and drilled holes in the walls, and how he hasn't had the chance to fix them. As for the noises in the attic, owner grabbed a ladder to let me look around, and I found a big fat raccoon up there. For context, my friend and I, who are both girls, were going up to Massachusetts to visit a college campus together. We planned on staying at an Airbnb that was close to the college. Unfortunately, the Airbnb was about an hour and 40 minutes away from the airport. The only way we could get from one place to another was to take an Uber. I ordered the Uber, and it arrived in about 15 minutes. As the Uber pulled up, the driver, let's call him Max, rolled down his window. The first thing I thought of was how he looked like a bigger version of the guy from Split. and stared at my friend and me for about 15 seconds. Feeling uncomfortable, I asked who he was there to pick up to be cautious, and he said my name. My friend and I hopped into the back seat of the car. Once we closed the doors, the first thing Max did was look at us in the rearview mirror and say, "This is going to be a real nice ride with two pretty girls in my car." The way Max said this sent chills down my spine. My friend and I probably showed our discomfort because quickly after, he tried to tell us that he didn't mean it in that way. However, he had already given us bad vibes, and because of this, I wanted to get rid of the awkward silence, so I began to start a conversation. As we drove, we went through the back roads of rural Massachusetts, and it was dark. No streetlights whatsoever. I asked why it was so dark, and Max chuckled and told us, "Yeah, it's so dark that I could drive into that ditch, and no one would ever know." Alarm bells started ringing in my head, but we only had 20 minutes left. Max had begun to say how much he would miss us and stuff. We kept quiet. Meanwhile, I was looking at Google Maps on my phone to make sure he didn't try anything, and of course, he decided to make a right turn instead of a left. I told him he was going the wrong way, and he told us he wasn't. I assured him it was wrong, and he got angry. He began telling us how he met his wife because his friend cheated on her, and he found her in a bar or something. Then, he told us that his wife makes him so mad that he wants to strangle her. My heart sank when I heard this, but we were 5 minutes away. When we arrived at the Airbnb, Max started to take off his seatbelt and told us he would help with other luggage in the back. However, neither one of us put anything there. We only had backpacks. My friend and I quickly got out and walked away, and Max turned off his engine and told us, "I'll keep in touch." We went into the Airbnb wonderful people, and I reported him and deleted my Uber account. I just got back from a family vacation in Los Cabos, Mexico. We stayed at a nice Westin resort, and usually around 9:30 p.m., my family would head back to their rooms to go to sleep. Naturally, as a 25-year-old, I wanted to stay up and party or go drinking at bars, but my older brother was working remotely and wouldn't go out with me. After the family went to bed, I went out to a bar around the corner from my hotel and ended up befriending the locals there and a 29-year-old guy from San Diego named Luke, who was there for a wedding. We started hanging out every night after my family went to sleep, and on the third night of the trip, Luke asked if I wanted to meet him in downtown Los Cabos with his friends. I really wanted to, but I was at an important dinner with the family that went on later than usual. I ended up staying home that night. The next night I met him at this huge Pablo Escobar-esque mansion they rented on Airbnb, and he told me that it was good. I couldn't make it out the night before because of how scary of an experience it was. He explained to me that the night before, his buddy was taking a piss outside and someone approached him and held out a key with a bump of coke on it. Without thinking, he snorted the bump, and the person who offered it was now demanding he buys an $80 bag from them. He was drunk and refused, while getting pretty aggressive towards them. Things went from bad to worse as the Mexican who offered the bump started following their group from bar to bar for the next 3 hours, taking pictures of them. He called his friends, and there were now a group of them following behind and claiming to be affiliated with the cartel. They warned that if Luke's buddy didn't pay them, they were going to call their boss. Luke eventually went over and tried to smooth things over. They told him his friend had stolen from them, and it was going to cost him his life if someone didn't pay up. The cartel member also pulled his shirt up, revealing a 9mm pistol in his waistband. Luke did the right thing and remained calm, while offering to take them to an ATM and pay out of pocket $160 so they could all be left alone. The cartel members gave him an empty Coke bag and abruptly left. Even after him doing all this for his friend's safety, his friend denied any responsibility or wrongdoing, and even had the audacity to blame Luke for trying to help by getting involved. He also didn't offer Luke a single dollar. After this event happened, Luke got robbed again in the same night, with a girl who ripped his $200 gold necklace right off his neck. His friend was cool to me, but sounded like a real asshole after Luke explained this to me. Poor dude was just trying to be a good friend and was met with no gratitude, only to be robbed again. Needless to say, I am very happy I didn't make it out to meet them that night. I also think things could have gotten a lot worse for them had he not offered the cartel members money. Be careful out there, and never accept free drugs from a stranger on the street in Mexico. Or really anywhere. It always comes with a price. ...3 a.m. Airbnb visitor. My husband and I got married during level 3 lockdown in New Zealand. We wanted to do something special on the night of our wedding, so we booked an Airbnb in a harbor near where we live. The place was the back house of someone else's house and kind of in or near a forest. It was also pretty small, just one room and a bathroom. Since we had just gotten married, we were acting very in love that night, for lack of a better word. We also had the windows open because we believed that where we were was very remote. When we decided to go to sleep, my husband decided that since we were in NZ, there was no need to lock the door, and like an idiot, I went along with this. We went to sleep, and a few hours later around 3 a.m., there was a distinct loud knocking on the wall that our heads were resting against. There were about 7 knocks spaced out evenly, to be exact. It was the kind of sound that, to me, seemed deliberately trying to wake us up. I shrieked, and then my husband looked.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Looked out the windows for movement. There wasn't any movement or sound afterward, just extreme stillness. What's also weird is the Airbnb had motion-sensing lights on the opposite side of where the knocking came from. It was almost like whoever it was knew not to set off the lights. Also, because I think people will ask, I know in my gut this knock came from a person and not an animal or wind, etc. After a few hours of being terrified, we didn't hear anything else for the rest of the night. The next day, I asked the Airbnb host about it, and they said they didn't know anything and were genuinely sorry. They even let us stick around past checkout to enjoy the view a little longer. To be honest, I genuinely don't think it was them. I know this isn't as creepy as some of the other stories on this sub, but I still wanted to share because I don't understand why. Why would someone want to just wake us up? Especially if the door was unlocked. A part of me wants to think it was someone homeless looking for a place to sleep. But then why would they try to wake us up? Why not peek in a window that we stupidly left open? Another theory is they were doing something perverted and watching us earlier in the night. Again, though, why would they need to wake us up 4 hours later? I appreciate any and all speculations because, frankly, these questions keep me up at night long. It's about a 90-minute drive, and we pull up to the Airbnb we rented at about 12 a.m., I had noticed a few pedestrians out walking a few blocks away, but the neighborhood seemed safe, so I didn't think much of it. When we get out of our cars, the house is completely blacked out, not one light on. We looked at the neighbors, and none of their lights were on. We walk into the courtyard with flashlights and make our way into the house. My 10-year-old and his 12-year-old cousin start making jokes about Freddy and Jason. Not funny. I text the homeowner, who happens to live in California. He actually texts back and says they have power outages all the time. I tell him how scared I am, and he seems to find it silly and is of very little help. The fuse box is located on the outside of the house. At this point, I remember the men walking in the neighborhood and feel like we are going into a death trap. So here is where I lose it. I Google the local police department and the phone number no longer works. I call the first few numbers offered online and none of them work. It started to feel like deliverance. I felt helpless and could have called 911, but the biggest town is 30 minutes away and it wasn't a real emergency. I couldn't justify it. Hello 911, I'm scared. We run outside all together, and the fuse box was in perfect shape. Nothing was wrong. We run back into the house, look through all the closets, lock it up, and try to sleep. I notice that you can easily see into the house through the window I'm sleeping under. So basically, I stared at the ceiling until morning because I wanted to save my phone battery. It was the longest night of my life. And I heard every creak and moan in that house. When my son woke up that morning, he said, "I can't believe we survived." We found out the transformer blew, and the local utilities company fixed it. The worker said they were on call 24/7, and the owner just had to call them, and they would have come out. When we were outside talking to him, I looked at the front screen door, and the cross was upside down. That was when I had enough. We packed and left for home a night early. The moral of the story is when you stay in an unknown town, have a list of the local authorities' working numbers. This past weekend, I was at a bachelorette party in Scottsdale, Arizona. We rented an Airbnb managed through a property management company located in a cul-de-sac that had one other rental. The other houses were residential. The front door had a key code that they change for every new guest check-in. On the last night, we stayed up until about midnight before all going to our separate bedrooms. Two girls locked up front door, back door, made sure the garage door was closed, and that the garage entry door was locked as well. We are all into true crime, so definitely overly aware, if that's even possible, of our safety and surroundings at all times. Fast forward to 3:34 a.m.-ish, and one of my friends wakes up because she heard a door slam and someone say, "Hello." She is freaking out and can hear this person walking towards the room she's staying in with two of our other friends. The intruder opened up the door, and my friend shouted, "Who are you?" The intruder, who looked like a girl our age, said sorry and ran out of our house through the garage door. She and the two girls in her room got up, closed the door, and checked everything else, and it was all still locked. On the other side of the house, one of my friends had woken up later in the night because she had a super unsettling feeling that someone was watching her while she slept. Her room had floor-to-ceiling windows with sliding doors going out to the pool. She had no idea that any of this other stuff happened until the next morning. It was really scary the next morning because everyone else had slept through all of this happening. If the intruder had bad intentions and my friend hadn't heard her enter, a very different and scary scenario could have taken place. We concluded that the property management group was not changing the entry door keypad codes or using the same code for both rental houses on the cul-de-sac. And the girl was drunk and got the houses mixed up. A warning about street dealers in Portugal. Hashish, marijuana, cocaine. My brother, my parents, and I were on holiday in Portugal when this happened. We were staying in the center of Lisbon in an Airbnb. My brother and I are avid weed smokers and wanted to smoke during the night when we weren't with our parents. Drugs are decriminalized in Portugal, as I'm sure many of you know, and the street dealers in Lisbon are everywhere. If you aren't with parents and look young and relaxed, you'll probably get asked if you want to buy hash or coke on average every 10 minutes. Anyways, we picked up some hash on the first day and some buds on the second. On the third, we were looking for some buds, and we were approached by a man who bore a resemblance to DJ Khaled. But this man was smaller and scarier looking. He asked us if we wanted buds, and we said yes. He then told us to stay here a street corner, and that he'd be back soon. After about 5 minutes, he returned and led us into an alley. We asked for a 20, but he handed us an obvious 10. We said no, and then he tried to get us to buy two 10s for $35. Again, we said no, and that all we had was Euros 20. The guy's boss then showed up and gave him a few more 10 bags. The boss then leaned on a wall and watched us as we looked at each bag. Eventually, we gave up and decided to get the 10s for 20. As soon as we walked off, the boss blocked our way, and half a dozen other guys came into the alley. They started to get aggressive and asked us to empty our pockets. Luckily, all we took to meet this guy was a 20 euro note and our phones. I showed the guy all my pockets apart from the one my phone was in, and he tried to reach into each pocket, but I didn't let him. This is when the boss grabbed my shirt and pulled me towards him. He told me not to mess with him, and that we should take him to an ATM to empty our accounts. I lightly pushed him off me, and my brother and I refused to go to an ATM. We said we had nothing to give. Suddenly, we took off and tried to get around them and out onto the streets. They caught up to my brother, surrounded him, and grabbed his arm to try to take his watch. They also had other people waiting outside the alley, blocking the sidewalk, and one of them tried to grab my arm. My brother shook the man that grabbed his watch, and we took off running onto the road to get past the people blocking the streets, and then dipped into another street. We were running for at least 10 minutes until we were sure that we had lost them. The walk back to our Airbnb was a little scary since we were really close to where we picked up from the DJ Khaled-looking dude. It turns out luck was on our side, and we made it home unscathed. In the end, we still had the 10s, our phones and watches, and our lives. We were just a little shaken up and really lucky that we weren't harmed. The next day, we picked up from Instagram, and it was fantastic. A word of warning to any stoners on holiday in Portugal. Some of the guys that will offer you stuff on the streets are all right and have nice weed. Others sell fake shit, and there are also ones out there that are just in it to rob you. Stay safe, and if you choose to pick up, only take the amount of money that you intend to spend. Nothing more. Or don't do it at all. Thanks for reading, guys. Recently, I went on a trip to Denver with some friends, and it was pretty dope. We had a good time. We were there for about a week, and during the final days, we noticed some creepy shit going on. We were in Colorado Springs in our crib, just watching Effie 248, all pretty tired. Our front door has little windows on it that reflect a bunch of light, causing me to look at it often. That Saturday night, we were all on the sofa, half asleep, and like usual, I saw a reflection off the front door. I felt like I saw someone looking in, but since I was on an edible, I took it as if I was just high. The porch lights weren't on, so all I saw was a dark figure. After a few minutes, I saw it again, so now I'm pretty convinced it's a man looking in. I didn't want to say much because I knew the girls would freak out, so I told one of my homies pretty low-key what I saw, and he told me he saw the same thing. At first, I was pretty scared because our house was huge, and I thought it would be possible that there could be multiple people trying to look in. We ended up all playing dumb like we didn't know he was looking into the door, and we all unexpectedly rushed outside at the same time to scare him a bit. It worked. He started running. Then he stopped and asked us if we knew who Joe was. Obviously, we all were pissed and didn't care what he had to say, but he kept running and went into a beat-up house, which only my friend decided he was going to chase him around the block. My boy ran back and told us it was a witchcraft house and asked us to come take a look. My reaction was a hard F that, lol, and I went inside, creeped out. About an hour later, he came back and was just staring at our house from across the street, not moving at all, just staring. Then all of a sudden, he threw rocks at our house for about an hour. We called the cops, and they came 3 hours later and laughed when we told them what went on. That's about it for the story, though, lol. Sorry for the bum-ass grammar, but stay woke while you guys are in Airbnbs. My bedroom is the hottest room in the entire house. In the winter, I have to almost fully cover the vent to block heat from coming in, and I have to sleep with the window open a tiny bit to keep it from getting too hot. I have medical issues that cause me to get violently ill if I get overheated. When it's fall, I generally keep the bedroom windows open. They have screens on them, and I have blinds and blackout curtains and sleep with them open. I have a window at the front of the house and a window on the side of the house in my room. The other night I was watching TV because I have horrible insomnia and just couldn't fall asleep. Sometime after midnight, I heard footsteps outside my window on the side of the house. There's leaves all over the ground already, so it was pretty loud. I paused my show and listened, honestly just figuring it was one of my roommate's dogs. I realized, unfortunately, that there was no way it was either of his dogs. The girl dog is much younger, maybe a year old, and she prances everywhere. It's pretty adorable and very distinctive since I hear her out there several times a day. His other dog is a large dog, but he's very old, very fat, and slow-moving. He generally can't even walk the distance from the back door to the other side of the house near my window. His walk is also very distinctive because he hardly lifts any of his paws. He's seriously super old when he walks. I also noticed that it was very clearly the steps of someone walking on 2 feet. Within seconds of me pausing the TV, the steps completely stopped. I listened for a while, but eventually turned the show back on. We do have a tree between us by my window and our neighbor. It's completely plausible that if someone was outside the window, they could have climbed into the tree and waited until they could get away without being heard. Eventually, I fell asleep. Just a little while ago, I had dozed off watching TV only to be woken up by my cat frantically jumping on my head to look out the side window. He never looks out that window when I'm asleep because he can't find a way to the window without stepping on me and waking me up. His tail was puffed out and the hairs on his back were slightly raised. I've rarely seen him do this. He has only acted like that one time towards an animal, and that was a cat we brought into the room and allowed to eat his food. He looks out the open windows all the time. He loves seeing other animals. This took me from scared to absolutely freaked out. I paused the show and again, it was unmistakably human steps outside my window again. Only this time they didn't stop when I paused the TV, and they definitely weren't trying to be quiet. I heard them take several quick steps, and the sound faded towards the front of the house, confirmed when my cat launched himself across the room to look out that window. I heard what sounded like a car door, and then nothing more since. I called the police and two searched the outside of the house with flashlights, and another car drove around shining their spotlight around the neighborhood. Here's hoping whoever this is doesn't keep coming back. I'm gonna get some cameras as soon as I can to put outside my windows so that I can find out who this is and have them stopped. For the past 2 years, my two friends and I have been taking turns surprising each other. We plan a 10-day vacation somewhere not too far from where we live. We decide on a budget for where we'll stay and pick a set time for the trip. This year, it was my turn to do the surprising. So, after I sorted out all the details, I invited Lucas and Alex over to my apartment. We had pizza and beers, and that's when I shared the news. Lucas came over first, and he's always punctual, but Alex, who we were still waiting for, usually arrives a bit later, but in a stylish way. Unlike Lucas and me, Alex still lives with his parents while we each have our own apartments. All three of us are in our early 20s, and we've been friends for a long time since we went to school and college together. So, finally, after 45 minutes, Alex showed up. He said sorry for being late and joined us by sitting down. We all started eating pizza and having our drinks. Then, for about an hour, we talked about what each of us was up to. After that, Lucas looked at me and said, "Hey, Noah, let's stop with the small talk and tell us what you've planned this year." So, I began by saying that unlike the past years, I won't be showing you pictures or videos of the place I've booked on the internet. That part will be a surprise. but I can tell you that I've reserved a cozy cabin in a calm area by Lake Superior's north shore. Then I told them that we're going to do a lot of fun things outdoors, so they should pack enough clothes and gear. "Hey, Alex, since you've got the biggest vehicle, could you drive us?" Alex said. "Sure thing," and both of them seemed curious because I wasn't giving away too much information at first. We all agreed to meet at Alex's house on Saturday morning around 10 a.m. We planned to leave our cars there at his parents' place, which had a big house and a really spacious driveway. We started our journey on time, following the route I gave. The trip took a little over 4 hours, including a couple of stops for restroom breaks. The final 30 minutes of our journey were on a curvy road by the lake, surrounded by trees and nature. Eventually, I saw a sign up ahead that said, "Hideaway Lodge," so we made a sharp left turn onto a bumpy road with trees and woods on both sides. The road ended in a clearing, and there was a tall wooden lodge with 2 floors right in front. We parked the car and got out. Lucas and Alex both said, "Dude, this place is really cool." When we looked at the front of the cabin, we could see it leading down to a little beach area by the lake. We walked up to the front door, and I put in the code on the keypad to get inside. We carried all our things inside, and then we hurried to pick the best bedroom. There were 3 bedrooms, and all of them were nice. But surprisingly, there were no arguments this time, which was different from my usual vacations. We made some food and brought it outside. I said, "If you look over there to your left, you'll see the house with 3 canoes. We can go explore with them tomorrow." The owner mentioned there are also some fishing rods we can use if we want. Both Lucas and Alex looked at me and said, "Excellent. That sounds like a really good idea. Let's plan for that tomorrow unless we're feeling tired from last night." The next morning, we all woke up reasonably early, which for us was around 10:30 a.m. After breakfast, we gathered our clothes and went to the small building inside. We found 2 canoes, but we also found a spare one lying in the corner, hidden away. I'm not sure if we were supposed to use it, but we did anyway. There was a canoe where you sit on top, and a few different kinds of paddles and paddle boards. Luckily, there were cushions to sit on in the canoes, which made it more comfortable. We carried the canoes down a path to the lake's beach and set off onto the water. It took us about 20 minutes to figure out how to paddle and keep our balance. None of us had tried canoeing before. We paddled for about an hour along the shore. When we reached some rocks jutting into the deeper part of the lake, Lucas saw it and said to us, "We need to stop, but we should do some diving here." We beached the canoes and climbed up onto the rocks. We started looking down at the water, and it was extremely clear, so we took it in turns to do more and more extreme dives and jumps. Then Alex said, "Out of the way, I'm going to do some backflips off the rocks." He disappeared into the water after a big splash. When he came up, he shouted, "I need some help, guys. I got my leg caught on a..." I looked down, and I could see there was blood in the water underneath him. I shouted to Alex, "We need to get down there and help him." We jumped down from the rocks and ran to the beach. We helped Lucas get out of the water as his knee was bleeding a lot from a cut. I used my extra t-shirt to wrap around the wound and try to stop the bleeding. Lucas had trouble standing, so we leaned him against one of the canoes to make him comfortable while we figured out what to do next. "Did either of you bring a phone? I forgot mine." They both shook their heads. I sighed and said, "Well, then we messed up. We need to go back to the cabin. There should be a first aid kit there. If that's not enough, we'll have to drive you to the nearest doctor or hospital to get some stitches." The wound looked serious, and I thought it might need stitches, but I'm not a doctor. Then Alex spoke up. "Hey, guys, we might have another issue." He pointed in the opposite direction from where we were standing. "Look, see over there near the trees by the shore?" Both of us turned our heads to where Alex was pointing. Right there by the tree line was a big gray dog. "It's a dog," I said, but Lucas disagreed, saying, "No, that's a wolf." As we watched, more of them came out from the bushes. Alex said, I see 9 of them. They can smell the blood, so we have to be really careful and keep an eye on them. We don't have any weapons, and there's no way we could run away from them. Our best option is the water, but I'm not sure if they can swim well, as I'm not very knowledgeable about animals. Right then, we noticed that they were slowly coming down to the beach and moving around together. I told everyone that we should help Lucas onto his canoe, so Alex and I lifted him up. We could still see blood coming out from under the shirt we tied around his wound. The wolves started acting strangely. They began to trot around, and some of them even started howling and growling as they got closer. We quickly helped Lucas onto his canoe and used our paddles to push him away. I turned around, clapped my hands, and yelled. This made them slow down a bit, but the main wolf, probably the leader, didn't stop. In fact, it kept coming and seemed to speed up as I clapped. Alex and I hurriedly pushed our canoes into the lake and started paddling fast, trying to reach Lucas. I looked back and saw the pack of wolves getting close to the lake's edge. Thankfully, they didn't seem interested in swimming after us. If they had, things could have gone very badly, and I wouldn't be here writing this story. When we returned to the cabin, I called the owner. He said there was a small local hospital, so we drove Lucas there. The doctor stitched up his wound and gave him antibiotics just in case. After that unexpected encounter with the wild animals, we decided to have a more relaxed vacation.